May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Portrait of a disciple, people who listen from our gospel lesson for today. Let me start with men this morning, if you would. Some of you need to go back to when you were single men. Who would make the better wife, Martha or Mary? Ooh, this is a tough question. Don't look, women, wives, don't look at your husbands, okay? Mm-hmm. I can hear some say that Martha would make the better wife. She was the domestic engineer. And if the old cliche is true, that a way to a man is through his stomach, then Martha's your woman. But on the other hand, I can hear some of you say that Mary would make the better wife. After all, she's always so thoughtful, sensitive, and sweet, and loving. But there's going to be somebody here that says, I'd like to be married to both women. Martha before dinner, and Mary after. I think this section of the Bible once again displays the realness of God's Word. It's not fantasy. It's not made up. This is the way real people live. With an economy of words, these two sisters are shown to have very unique and opposite personalities. Martha, fastidious, housekeeper, the industrious one. She was obviously a hard worker, a great host, task-oriented. Mary, much more laid back, quiet, reflective, highly relational, much less task-oriented. So let's pick up the details of this very short episode, at least in the scriptures. It tells us that Jesus and his disciples, that's key now, his disciples were on their way and they came to one of Jesus' favorite refuges. Martha opened up her home. She had a sister, Mary, and she also had a brother named, really good, Lazarus, right? So potentially, Martha was preparing food for, well, there's Jesus, 12 disciples, that makes 13, right? Then we have herself, 14, and I'm not that great in math, but I mean... And we have two others. So potentially she was making dinner for how many? Have you had 16 to your... Well, some people just had a lot more than that. But have you had 16 people to your home lately in which you served them dinner? And you prepared it? That is a lot of work. So I think we can begin to understand how Martha felt viewing her sister sitting there at Jesus' feet, listening to him as she did all the work. Don't you feel it? If you had brothers and sisters, you had one like that. You did. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Maybe you've been in that exact situation. Your older brother, your younger brother, mainly younger ones, I guess. Oh, I don't know. Younger brother or younger sister, they're just lollygagging around and you're having to do all the work. And it's not fair, right? It isn't. The obvious nature of what was happening makes Jesus' response surprising, if not shocking. Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is surprising. This is surprising because of the law of hospitality. It was so elevated in the day of Jesus. It's still practiced in the Mideast, but it was very elevated. It was a law of hospitality. If you read the Bible, you'll see many instances where they were hospitable and it was required of them. Martha practiced the law of hospitality. Mary didn't. Mary didn't. And I wonder, which do you think bothered Martha more? This mild rebuke of Jesus, or Jesus' praising her lazy sister? The truth is, Jesus loved both sisters. All we have to do is go to John 11 and see the whole account of the raising of Lazarus, and we can see how much he loved them both. Perhaps he had an understanding smile when he said, "Martha, Martha." I suspect it might have been that way. Nevertheless, Jesus was making a profound point about it, what it means to be a disciple. Disciples, above everything else, listen to Jesus. To put it clearly, the key to being a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ is a matter of priorities. Jesus Christ first and everything else next. Martha was doing good things. Agreed? She was doing good things. But her good things were interfering with her experiencing the better thing. The good became the enemy of the best. This is a consistent teaching of Jesus throughout the scripture. My favorite analogy is that sometimes when I'm in a hurry and I button my shirt, I get the first button wrong. And then what? All the other buttons are going to be wrong. That's true in life in so many ways. If you don't get the first thing right, everything else goes wrong. Everything else goes wrong. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things," and the context here is food and clothing and all the necessities of life and all the good things of life, "will also be given to you." In Matthew. Repeatedly, God tells us in His Word that His Word is the treasure of all treasures. It is the bread and water of eternal life. It is wisdom. It is light. It brings faith. It brings salvation. And we go on and on and on. And you can be so busy. You can be striving with your life and all the goals you have set and all the things you want to do and all the pleasures you want to have. But if you fail to listen to Jesus, to God, you're going to get lost. And if you continue not listening, you're going to get utterly lost. Anne was looking out the window of her nursing home room when he entered. "Pastor," she beckoned, "come over here and look at the birds on this, out the window here." When he stepped over to join her at the window, she said, "You know, when I was a little girl back on the farm in Missouri, one Sunday morning my father called me to get ready for church. And I was watching some blackbirds from my window. And I said, 'Papa, I'd like to be one of those blackbirds and just fly away whenever I want to.' And then she said this, 'I don't want to go to church today.' My papa came right beside me and said gently, 'Anne, there will be a day when you want to go to church and you will be unable to attend. Then you will realize how important it is. Anne turned to the pastor and said, with tears in her eyes, "Today is one of those days, Pastor. Today is one of those days. We have time to hear the Word of God and to hear it with others. What a great joy it is. It's the greatest mistake of our day, among every age, not listening. Not listening. A disciple always wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, there are many things the Word of God does for us. I've already mentioned it. It feeds us. It lights our path. It reveals the purpose of our lives. And one day, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I was, as some of you know, I jog sometimes, and people all over my neighborhood are rolling down their willing, "Stop, please." I mean, I just, and it's been really hot, right? So I came home and I showered, and I was really, really sweaty and dirty and everything. And then it's just like the Holy Spirit to do this sometimes. The Holy Spirit shot a thought through my mind. Holy Spirit was telling me, if you want to call it that, saying, you know, your outside of your body is dirty, smelly. What's going to cleanse the inside of you? And of course, what does? The Word of God. It cleanses us from the inside. It pours over us with its goodness. It's the blood of Christ. It's the Spirit coming in us, bathing us. This is what God's Word continually does. A disciple listens and in doing so is cleansed. Cleansed where it counts the most. You know, there's one thing we all have in common. We all have issues to deal with. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. Maybe even crises. Now, yours today may be little ones. Or maybe they're pretty big ones. But this is what we all have in common, right? We all have problems. All have problems. There's no one among us exempt. My question to you today, have you stopped to listen what Jesus might say about your situation? And if not, why not? Is it because you think you can figure it out? That next to most people, you have pretty good opinions. You have a pretty good way to handle things. That you're wiser than most. Maybe it is that you cannot think where I would look in the Bible for these answers, for direction. Maybe that's so. A true disciple is marked by two things. First of all, a disciple trusts that God does speak about our concerns that they may have, and He does. In fact, every problem that I've ever encountered with people and my own, there's something said about it in the Scriptures. It may not give you do this and this and this, but there are points in this Scripture where God is definitely leading us and guiding us in the way we should go. So first, a disciple trusts. Second, a disciple, a true disciple, seeks the Lord, falls at the feet of Jesus, in other words, digs for the truth, searches the Scriptures that were recorded to bless us and teach us. If you seek, you're going to find. If you look hard, God will show you. So do you want to be a disciple? You believe, don't you, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? You know that it's not your good works, because you could never get enough good works to be right with God, but it's His grace, His free gift, that makes you have an abundant life and to come an eternal life? Are you not in the very same place as Peter when he said, Lord, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. We are willing to be disciples. Listen, because of the incredible joy of being with Jesus. You know, Jesus did not encourage Mary to help Martha, because listening to Jesus comes first, more important than any good thing you can do. It's getting the right button first. So I ask you again, are you willing to listen, willing to be a true disciple? There's a wonderful story out of one of those chicken soup for the soul books, remember, that were so popular a few years back, that says it all, at least it did to me. A father lay staring up at the ceiling. Beside him was his wife, who was fast asleep, exhausted after the long trip. The drive that they had made was an emotional strain on both of them as they took their one and only daughter to college. It was her first day at the university, and it was really her first time away from her parents. The father, laying there, reminisced about his first day at college. It seemed like a lifetime ago, riding in the father's old rickety pickup truck with their whole life packed in the back. The drive was incredibly long back then, at least that's the way he remembered it. They stopped by a stream and ate lunch along the way. But the similarities with his going to college and his daughter's really ended there with a long drive. Because you see, his daughter had a much larger dorm packed with all kinds of electronics that he could only dream about. When his father left him, he looked in his eye and shook his hands, the hand of his son, and said, I really don't have much advice to give you, son. He said, I was never smart enough to go to college. I don't have much money even now, but here's a checkbook. If you get in a bind, write yourself a small check, and I'll do my best to make sure the money's there. He pulled out the checkbook out of his pocket and handed it to his son. He then reached down and pulled out an old and worn Bible. There was never a night he didn't see his father reading from a Bible. He's a simple man, but he was a man of great strength and faith. And handing it to his son, he didn't say, now read this every morning and every evening. He didn't say anything like that. All he said was this. This can help you if you'll let it. Now, lying on his bed decades later, this father felt a twinge of regret. He knew he'd given his daughter all he could give, but despite the wealth and prosperity he had achieved in his own life, it really amounted to nothing compared to what his father gave him. Quietly climbing out of the bed, he went his way to his attic, and there was an old dusty box. He opened it and pulled out. There it was, the Bible his father had given him. He pulled it out and smiled. It was just the way he remembered it. He carried the Bible down to his office, where he found a large padded envelope, and he set it inside. He grinned as he wrote the note. This can help you, he wrote, if you will let it. I have no doubt that everyone who's hearing me this morning has been called to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Will you listen? Will you make it a priority? Are you willing? In Jesus' name and to his glory, I pray so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.